This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness.
Humans experience a phenomenon known as déjà vu, where it feels like you've experienced that situation before. It feels like you've experienced that situation before.
Some people say it's when we're caught up in a time loop. Others say it's an echo from a past life, or my personal favourite, we're all in an advanced computer simulation and reality is just a game.
The strongest theory is a mismatch between two areas of the brain and two different types of memory.
Episodic and recognition. Recognition is a very simplistic categorisation. It's familiar or not. You see a person in the street and recognition triggers. That's Jamie Penrith. And then an episodic memory. I remember the time that he dressed up as a pumpkin.
But what about our dogs? Do they ever stop and think, hang on a minute, I've been here before? Welcome to the Dog Scholar.
What happens in human brains when they experience déjà vu?
Tell us, Sab, tell us.
Not again.
I think we've been here before. I found a paper that reviewed various past studies and clinical cases to understand the brain mechanisms that sit behind déjà vu. It concentrated on how recognition and memory systems work together, especially focusing on episodic memory, which is the recall of specific events or experiences. It found a significant role for the temporal lobe in these processes, and that's the part of the brain that's responsible for that incorrect feeling of familiarity that you get when you have déjà vu. Now, people with abnormalities in their temporal lobe, like if they've got temporal lobe epilepsy, for example, will tend to experience déjà vu more frequently. Now, déjà vu happens, we think, because of a mismatch between the recognition system and the retrieval of an episodic memory or a memory of an event.
I've just thought, if I was watching it, if I was playing away from home and you got caught, you'd just say, I'm ever so sorry, it was a temporal lobe mismatch. I was certain it was you.
Oh my God. To be honest, that's just kind of pissed on me chips a little bit there, because I quite like the idea of it being like a past life and stuff like that. So you and your neuroscience.
Here she comes, bringing all the facts.
Yeah.
Exactly the same sort of thing as well. When you were reading that, I just felt
a client that comes to me and I have to tell them the reality of the situation. Oh my God. Yeah. Empathy.
I think anything like that, that's the problem with sitting next to someone like you, is that anything like that, you suddenly realise that you're not actually greater than the sum of your parts, you know, and this sort of like existential crisis hits where you just think, oh, I actually thought that. No, there's just a machine inside of your head that's actually doing that. And it's the machine that makes you think that or not, depending on whether or not it misfires.
So basically, when you think that you've been here before, your brain just gone.
Basically.
How grounded.
Rather than the Matrix doing that.
Yeah. Oh, no. And we can't even take the red pill now. But we're committed. We know now.
And the thing is, no matter how smart you think you are, you're not smart enough to outsmart that piece of machinery, that hardware that's just gone...
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because you think, oh, I think I'll do... No, you haven't. Do you know what I mean?
So then it raises the bigger question. Am I even me? What is going on? I think I am is just a load of things.
Yeah. I am what I am, but is that what you think?
Deep.
I'm still kind of on the fence with things like that. I usually need really hard evidence, but I still think there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, that we don't know about yet. So, you know, when you think about us and how we are a plethora of different cells, and you look at each individual cell and the mitochondria that we have has got different DNA, and how we could be organisms inside organisms inside organisms. Well, what do we go and then make up? You know, there could be parallel universes that we don't even know about. We could be something small inside of something huge. So I would never say never.
It's so broad that it exceeds the human mind's capabilities, or the average human mind, at least, maybe not Sab's.
But yeah, sorry, déjà vu is definitely in your brain.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit of a tangent here, but something I say to my kids, or have said to my kids in terms of, you know, life and death and existence and all that sort of thing. And I said, what makes my parents makes me, and what makes me makes you. We are the same, you know, whatever it is that comes together to make me operate is what's coming together to make you operate along with that of your mum. So it's like the old selfish Gene Dawkins thing, isn't it? Yeah. Really, you know, we're like hermit crab shells. Do you know what I mean? But the actual hermit crab of my what makes me jumps into your shell and lives its life through you, and then jumps into the shell of your children and lives its life through them. So
there you are. You heard the first. Jamie's got crabs.
But so you never actually. What I'm saying is, you never actually go. You never actually leave. Yeah, you're a shapeshifter.
We're all shapeshifters, and déjà vu was just an echo of that. Memories of past events or episodic memories are really important for deja vu, but can dogs remember past events in the same way that humans can? Well, I found a study that looked at this, and dog owners were asked questions about situations that had happened in the past and the behaviours that their dog showed that would indicate whether they remembered them or not. Now, the data was coded then to see if there was evidence specifically of them using an episodic memory. And they found dogs could remember events that only happened once, even many, many years ago. They could remember the people that were involved as well as the locations. And the most common trigger for those memories was the location itself. So dogs can definitely remember past events in a similar way to humans can.
That doesn't shock me in that they're remembering things from years ago. We constantly refer in the industry to singular learning events, don't we? If the dogs link with an outcome, whether it be a positive outcome or a negative outcome, then the dog's going to remember. And clients will tell you all the time, like, you know, we take our dogs out and he remembers this gate and he knows there's a cat there, or Shesab, there's a cat there. But I think it's interesting, like, when we remember we've been to places loads, but there's a little touch difference to deja vu. We remember it, but we don't, but we do.
Yeah.
I wonder how that feels to a dog.
Yeah.
You know, is it a very rudimentary form of memory compared to ourselves? Yeah. And will they be able to tell the difference? Or would they even recognise it as deja vu or just go, yeah, I've been here before?
Yeah, well, we know that dogs have got really good episodic memories. They can remember an event rather than just a picture of something. They can kind of like replay an event in a similar way to we think we can. So we certainly know that they've got at least part of the machinery that you need for deja vu. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, Fun Sponge. Come on, Fun Sponge.
Come on, Jay.
Bring the gloom.
Yeah. Every poo needs an Eeyore.
Yes.
Probably going to rain. My, yeah, okay. Yeah, let me just stamp on your optimism. Yeah. No, my thoughts on it, like you were saying there, with memory, with dogs and with memory, I will remember things that I consider to be significant or of value to me, whether that's in an evolutionary sense or whether that's in a sort of like experiential sense, you know? If you put 1,000 things on a conveyor belt going across in front of me and there's...
It's not the generation game, Jeff!
No, but that's a memory test. That would be a memory test, wouldn't it? The generation game. And so I think, well, okay, what was there? If one of these things was doing something, like if a cauliflower on this conveyor belt was going, hello, 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 I'd think, cauliflowers don't do that. Yeah. So the first thing that I would remember when I've got this line of things is the cauliflower that did that, because it triggered something in me. It was unusual. Or if they go along, £1,000,000, go along, a naked individual, you know, depending on your sort of thing. You think,
attaching it to an emotion.
Yeah, it would be something that has got some kind of emotive significance to me. So I think with memory, with dogs, the greater the emotive significance that we can attach to something, the greater the chance of your dog remembering.
I've got to be honest, I think in that generation game, I'd just be sat there not remembering anything, thinking, I think I've been here before.
I'd just think, go on, Bruce, do that.
Yeah, yeah.
hear you. What's your dog remembered that you wish they hadn't?
The vast majority, I think. Yeah. The vast majority, I think. I think remembering negative things or remembering things that you wish you hadn't is part and parcel of training your dog, isn't it?
So,
if they remembered everything that you wanted them to remember, and then we wouldn't have a job, would we?
To be honest, it's not really like a bad thing. It's hard to describe. It's not a bad thing from a dog trainer's perspective. I don't mind my dogs learning things that I don't want them to necessarily. I do my best to make sure that doesn't happen, but it's just another thing to resolve. It's another question to answer. Do you know what I mean? If we go out one day and I haven't got eyes on my dog and they've had an experience, then it's on me to set that up again and create an outcome that's more desirable to both the dog and me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people at home, you know, don't worry if your dog's learning these things. It's an opportunity to rectify them.
Yeah.
This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness. A good dental chew should be a win-win. Your dog gets a treat that they can take off to a corner and chew on, and you get a significant improvement in their breath and all-round oral health. The Whimsies alligator and toothbrush chews have been designed with unique shapes to help clean the small spaces between dog's teeth and ensure proper blood flow through the gums, all while your dog chews. Look out for Whimsies in pet stores or order online by clicking the link in the description.
Deja vu is a glitch between recognising something.
She said that earlier.
Oh my God. You two are insufferable.
Go on, try reading it again.
It's just there, isn't it? You can't say it. You just want to say it.
Deja vu is a glitch between recognising and remembering something. Now, we established that dogs can remember something, but can they recognise something in the same way that we can? This study looked at whether dogs could recognise objects and places. And again, in a similar way to us. And it took 11 dogs with damage to their rhinal cortex. And before they had brain damage, they learned that certain objects and places signalled a reward. And the study tested whether they could still recognise them after they had brain damage. And what the study found is that damage to that part of the brain meant that the dogs could still recognise places, but they couldn't recognise objects. And that's the same in humans with similar brain damage. So it looks like dogs have definitely got the same machinery.
Mine and Jamie's heads just clashed together then. I seen them side eye me. What the hell's a rhinal cortex?
It is. Well, if you'd have paid attention instead of giving me so much chip, then you would know. Right.
Listen, I've had this from me mother. I didn't pay attention in school. Let me be. This is why I'm friends with you, to tell me these things.
In my episodic memory, in my recognition, wherever we are, all I just thought was someone, you know, riding out in a star-spangled rodeo. That's all I thought when you said.
Why is that?
Because it's a rhinestone cowboy, and you said rhine, and unless it's rhinoceros, the next thing is rhinestone cowboy that would come to mind. Yeah,
recognition.
There you go.
Rhinal cortex is part of the brain that is associated with recognition.
Right. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Have your dogs ever misrecognized something?
Yeah. Do you know what I love? Every dog owner will relate to this. When something new is in an environment where they predict it shouldn't be, and they do that weird thing where they, sorry for the podcast viewers, because there's going to be an action here, and you're not gonna see it. But when they kind of like look at it and back away, and then look at it and back away, you know, like it's like spooked while they're investigating, and they go, "Oh, it's just a wheelie bin."
My
Mallies used to do that all the time. Maybe when they're about 6 months old, and I started making them like trying to get them more familiar with the unexpected. By every time I'd let them out of an evening when it was dark, I'd put something new in the center of the field because it's a big empty field, and then you just see this object, but because it's dark, you can't make it out, and they'd be like they do.
Maybe they're experiencing deja vu.
Yeah, maybe.
They could.
Well, I doubt it. It was a different object every day.
But if they'd seen it before,
Well, my theory was you'll see enough random shit and you'll just go, "Oh, right, okay, that's just another thing," and it panned out. They don't care. They just
Maybe you just got them used to deja vu.
Maybe
you're triggering memories of past lives.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Book in with Unleashed. First dog trainer to teach deja vu.
Have your dogs ever experienced deja vu?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a clue. I don't even know how I could tell you an accurate answer to that. Yeah. I don't know how I could say,
I think it'd be really difficult to tell. I mean, we know they've got the machinery.
I couldn't even tell
if
you are.
Do you know what I think? I think we're in exciting times, though. I think within the next 20 years, I think neuroscience is going to go through the roof. Like, we're going to, you know, we were only speaking about this the other day, weren't we? About how we put them in a brain scanner. When that technology evolves to where the brain scanner is mobile and around, we're going to find out some crazy things, aren't we?
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely amazing. When you see some of the advances in human neuroscience and being able to project particular thoughts onto a screen in front of you, there was a really great study that basically was monitoring the activity of neurons when someone was remembering a Pink Floyd song. And they used AI to be able to quite accurately recreate the song just based on the neural activity, which is phenomenal.
What, and they were so just like laying there while this was happening?
So this,
I don't know the
details. They'd be quite comfortably numb.
I don't know the methods, but you think about how, you know, even
the message is they know it all and we don't need no education.
Yeah.
I can literally go forever. I know every album. I'll just back away.
But no, you think about in the future, like 50, 100 years time, how much the technology will have advanced and what we might be able to know about then. If we were to refilm some of these episodes in 100 years time, because obviously we'd be, you know, stuck in a time warp or something and it would be absolutely fine, or we could have cryogenics and we could go back and redo this. I think it would be amazing.
Absolutely. I think we probably think that with everything science related in it. It just constantly evolves in wondrous ways.
But I mean, what it showed me is that there are definitely more similarities between us and dogs than we might first think. Deja vu is not something that you think about every day. But just the knowledge that dogs have got the same brain.
There's got to be a joke in that. Yeah. There's got to be a joke in deja vu is not something that you think about every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If you had a bit of time
to sit down and think about it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It's hard to think of it at such an in-depth level when we're talking about, like, you can play games that to teach your dog recognition. I've seen him. I think it's a lady who's got a... I've seen him on the news anyway. He had a border collie that could recognise like 150 different objects, and he could literally say the object and the dog would get it. That is something that you could say to a person and they do it straight away, but that took time.
Yeah.
And remember what I said in a previous episode, that the more you teach your dog, the better they get, and they start working problem solving much more effectively. And on that show, they put an object that the dog didn't know, and he just said the object. And the dog went in, and you could see the dog rooting through. And it took a while, but the dog ended up retrieving the unknown object just through process of elimination, or how it would appear. And I know that. And he just picked up the random one. And it weren't like cut and put together. It was one full take. So, you know what I mean? There was no way of doing it. You could see the difference in how the dog done that repetition. So it's interesting, like, if it takes that long to remember things, are they feeling it and experiencing it the same way as us?
And I guess it's whether or not they have the intelligence to question whether what they're experiencing is déjà vu.
Yeah.
Or do they just go, that was funny?
If they've got like a rudimentary form of memory in terms of we'd learn that very quickly, maybe a déjà vu to them is no different than, oh, I've been here before.
Maybe they just feel like they genuinely have as opposed to going,
Dogs don't question further learning knowledge. Where does this come from? How does this exist?
Or do they?
Nah. It's a blissful world they live in. It's a blissful world.
What was the guy trying to prove who put his 100-year-old objects down? Was
just
it the dogs?
He just trained his border collie for fun. He just said, go and get your dinosaur. Go
and get your dinosaur. No, I just mean, if I thought it was like...
I was always trying to prove things, Jimmy.
No, I thought it was a sort of like what... I mean, good and everything. It's good, isn't it? Good training if it's trained. But, or are you trying to say, my dog knows what that object is?
No, not at all. What he was saying, he was an... He was a pet owner. He went like a committed dog trainer. Yeah. He said, I just want to teach my dog to get whatever it was in the first place. Let's say the remote control.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wonder if he'd know the difference between this. And it just become a game that he plays with his dog.
So you taught it to get the remote control, then you teach something else, and you add them together.
God. Okay. He knows the difference between the remote control and that. And then added more and more and more. But he built up to like 150 objects.
Is this recognition?
And then,
I thought you were implying that the dog understood if you said go and get the remote control, that the dog just knew what a remote control
is.
No,
it doesn't know what a remote control is. But the association of the word with the object was blatantly apparent. What was more interesting to me is when they put an object in there that the dog didn't know, you've seen the dog conduct itself completely differently, and it took a long time, but it worked out that I don't know what that is, so it must be that, and brought it back in one take.
But what we know is dogs have got the right brain machinery. They potentially can experience it. Whether they recognise that they experience it is a different matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on to some listener questions.
Jane? Yeah, let's. Question one is from Chris from Cheshire in the UK. It feels like I'm having déjà vu with my dog. She's a 3-year-old mixed breed and she's very bright, but seems to forget things that I've taught her, and I have to keep teaching her again. I've taught her how to sit and to down in the garden, but whenever I take her out, she doesn't do it, and I feel like I'm having to teach her for the first time all over again. Do you have any advice?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a generalisation of behaviour. So if you're teaching your dog in one context, that doesn't naturally mean that the dog's going to know in another context. So chances are your dog's not ignoring you or doesn't have the capacity to learn. Your dog's just a bit more consumed by the environment. So you're in a competition with that environment. Want to add to that, Jay?
No, I would just, my thought process is that's just training, Chris.
Yeah.
That's just training. You could say, if I say to you, to put it very simply, if I say to you, Chris, because we can speak, sit on the chair over there where Danny is, and you go and sit on the chair. And then I take that chair and I put it outside the room and I say to you, Chris, go and sit on the chair over there. You'll know to go and sit on the chair over there because we can communicate to one another. Or I could even just say to you, Chris, take a seat. And it might not be the chair, but there might be something else there that looks like a chair that you understand the concept of taking a seat. So you go and do it. As your dog, she doesn't understand that. She hasn't got, because we can't say to her, this is what I want you to do. All we can do is show her, when I teach you this in the garden, it means the same in this situation, because you don't naturally know that what I do in the garden is exactly the same in this situation. So I have to take a step back, make it less difficult for you, and say, this thing that you did in the garden, when you do it here, bang, there you go. That's what happens. That's what happens as a result of it. So the word that I give you in the garden to do it, and I now give you that word here to do it, and I show you that exactly the same thing is required, and I appreciate the fact that you don't learn in the same way that I do like that. So there's no sort of like déjà vu really going on. There's just a, you know, an inability to understand the requirements that you're asking of me from place to place to place. Once you've done it in a few places, I can begin to then generalize and get the idea and think a little bit more like you do about it, to, so to speak.
It's like, you know, I think it's important that we understand that as pet owners, we can get lost in we're doing this and we forget how everything kind of thinks and feels. So to put that into context, if you know, if your wife said, do you mind just going outside and clearing the gutters? And you went, yeah, okay, that's fine. As you go outside, there's a bit of a car crash and you go, oh God, I better see if anyone needs any help. Your wife wouldn't come outside and be like, you're supposed to be doing the gutters, because it's perfectly acceptable that that has now caught your attention and you're drawn towards it. It's a similar thing that's happening. If you don't teach your dog that that isn't important and that isn't important, this is, then they're not going to know that. And without that basic understanding, we can get frustrated with our dogs unnecessarily, when the reality of it is the act of sit, stay, down, recall. If you think of it like I've just explained, it shouldn't be frustrating for you. You should enjoy it, the interaction with your dog, and your dog's going to learn much more effectively and efficiently if you're enjoying it together.
That's a nice point. Second question, Jay.
Question two is for Rick. My dog acts strangely sometimes. Occasionally, when she's in her crate, someone will walk in that she knows really well, like my brother, but she'll start reacting aggressively like she doesn't recognise him. What could this be?
There's a number of things that can go on in here. So you could have resource garden. Your dog could be guarding the crate. A lot of times when dogs are in crates and people come in the house, they're drawn towards the dog, so they can make the dog feel uneasy in the crate and the dog starts to display space-creating behaviour. What we have to understand is when we put our dogs in any confined space, we eradicate the ability to flee. So your dog is only ever left with freeze, do nothing, or aggress and try and push you away, make you create space. So it's just a case of understanding. What I would try is, anyone who comes into your house, the dog might not get it straight away, but over a couple of weeks, if your dog's in a crate anyway, just get them to come in, tell them, don't talk to the dog, don't look at the dog, just walk past the dog and come in the home. And if that stops the behavior, then chances are your dog's feeling a little bit threatened at the thought of being confined in the crate, or and has to create space to keep you away from the crate.
Thank you for your questions. We do love them. And if you have any more, please send them in. Jay, how can they do that?
Search for us on social media at Dog Scholar Podcast, or you can email podcast@thedogscholar.com.
That's all we've got time for this week. We really hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please share it with a friend, because even if they don't like it, maybe their dogs will.
Danny, I know, I'm pretty certain you've told me the answer to this before, but what's your final thought?
I think it's just, I feel like we've done this before.
See you next week.